I am Paige Albiniak, editorial director of Promax BDA, and this is the Daily Brief podcast. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Meredith Conte. She is vice president of marketing for Tegna, and we're going to talk about a couple of topics. So first off, Tegna just did an explosive six-part digital and on-air series investigating sex trafficking of children. That premiered Thursday, October 19th online and on air on Sunday, October 22nd. Tegna also has been hugely involved with Hurricane Harvey relief efforts. We're going to talk a little bit about that too, probably start with that. Hello, Meredith. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Paige. Great to be with you.
It is great to have you. So actually, I'm going to start with Harvey and then we'll go into the Selling Girls series. So first of all, can you just update us on the status in Houston and how cleanup is going and where we're at? It's been about probably more than a month now, I guess.
Yeah. So Houston is such a remarkable city. The diversity of that city makes it incredibly special, and the resilience of that city is just unbelievable. You know, the city is completely operational. People are getting where they need to go. Obviously, there's hiccups here and there, but we're not looking at sort of a New Orleans post-Katrina environment. The city is operational, and between the local governments, the civic organizations, so many volunteers that are coming into the market, the city is really getting its feet back up and under them. And certainly this week, when the Astros are in the World Series, it's a really exciting week for the city. It's such a great metaphor in terms of resilience to see the hometown team go to the World Series. It's really history making for them. So, you know, things are making progress. I would say.
That's funny. I didn't even think about that with the Houston Astros, but that is a great story.
Absolutely. In fact, you know, we have a station in Houston, KHOU.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that station, and we're going to talk about it more in a bit.
Yeah, you know, sadly, they were flooded out of their building during the hurricane, and they had to move to temporary facilities, and they're still in those facilities. But we have certainly worked with them to make it operational and really try to ensure that the consumer experience remains at a very high standard. But they are a story of resilience, too. So I think it's just between the Astros and the team that I work with and at KHOU there, there is such spirit and such resolve. So I'm confident that that city will just rebound in tremendous fashion. There's a lot of grit and a lot of determination.
So Tegna took it upon itself to do a lot of fundraising around Harvey, including staging a huge telethon concert in Austin. What motivated Tegna to do that? And at what point were you guys like, hey, we need to get in here and I mean, it's basically 0 to 100 in a very short period of time. So what made you guys decide to take all that on?
Yeah, great question. So we are a purpose-driven company. There's a lot of meaning in the work that we do. Our purpose as an organization is to serve the greater good of our communities. And so in everything we do, whether it's editorial or marketing, sales, what have you, there is a social good element that sort of runs through the operation. And so when a community is in need, we rise up. And it's just sort of it's instinctual, right? This is sort of a visceral reaction of like, we need to do something. And the beauty of it is it doesn't necessarily come from corporate. It's shared between all of the stations in the portfolio. So, you know, of course, as it's happening and those things are unfolding and we're starting to see the damage, I have stations all over the country, north, south, east, west, saying, what are we going to do? Like, how are we all going to rally together? And so very quickly, it was that weekend of the hurricane. It was that Sunday. A lot of stakeholders got on the phone, and we immediately initiated a fund through a community foundation that would raise money for the American Red Cross in disaster relief. And nearly every station in our portfolio signed on to host phone banks or digital fundraising initiatives. And just through that quick action, we were able to raise $3 million. Above and beyond that, we had people who wanted to take it to an even more experiential place. So we forged a partnership with a trucking company, learned more about trucking in the last month than I ever thought I would know, but forged a partnership with a trucking company, a fuel company, to host supply drives in all of our markets that wanted to participate. And through those efforts, we sourced tons and tons of supplies and then caravanned those trucks into Houston to deliver to the Salvation Army. And then finally, because our employees are so well connected into the community, Our Austin, Texas station got wind of a major concert event that was happening down in Austin. And so we joined in as a broadcast partner on that event, which featured Willie Nelson and James Taylor, Bonnie Raitt, Lyle Lovett, really some great headliners. And so we broadcast that concert in the state of Texas, where we have 11 of our affiliates. I think we're the largest broadcaster in the state. And we raised another $2 million through that. So all in, we generated about $5 million in cash plus tons of supplies that all went to victims of Hurricane Harvey. And that's just, you know, it seems so simple, but that's just the way we roll. You know,
right.
I think when you work at a purpose-driven company, it gives people great pride to be able to do something in their work that makes a difference.
So that concert was already in the works sort of via the city of Austin or those organizers, and then you guys jumped on to broadcast it. Both you brought, I think it was it on YouTube Live and then also on in the local markets?
It was. So what we did is we were already in conversations with YouTube. The two of us were talking about, you know, what can we do together? Then our team in Austin, you know, got wind of these conversations about, well, this artist is interested in doing something and this artist is interested in doing something. So we all got on the phone, pulled all of our collective assets to really put on this very special event. I think we did it in about a 2-week time. But we had a major festival organizer. We had YouTube coming in with a challenge pledge. They put up $500,000 that they would match to the first $500 that consumers pledged. Several of our stations in Texas held phone banks. We even had technology so that even though the number was an 800 number and we were doing it in Texas, we could have volunteers anywhere in the organization except calls from willing donors. So we had a phone bank set up here in Washington, D.C. at our corporate headquarters, and we had corporate volunteers answering the phones. We had volunteers at our Tampa affiliate answering phones, all for an event that was happening in Austin. So again, this sort of dispersed model, we were able to pull so many different levers to make it a very successful event.
I was just in Austin for Austin City Limits a couple weeks ago, and if you're going to do a giant live music event, that's the town to do it in.
That is definitely that town to do it in. Their music community is amazing and just full of talent and full of heart. And, you know, once one or two artists say, I want to do this, their friends get in on the mix. And it really, it's such a community, you know, a community bonding event. It's music is such a way to bring people together. And it was a very powerful, it was a really powerful night, and we had the Austin mayor there, the governor participated, and it was really, really special, and we're just grateful that it raised a lot of money for people affected by the hurricanes.
Were you in Austin for it?
I was in Austin for it, running around like a mad woman, just on the production, as you can imagine, but we had a great crew, a great showrunner, who delivered a really clean, strong show. And I think what was really interesting is we turned it for that same night. So we filmed the concert, and we ordered the acts in the order they would appear in the broadcast. But then we about had maybe 30 to 45 minutes to turn it for broadcast from the live event. So it was very ambitious, but like I said, everyone we had on that team just full of heart, willing to bring all of their talent to bear in the interest of social good. And it really was a fantastic evening. The artists were a pleasure to work with. Lots of our affiliates around the country promoted the fact that the concert was going to be coming to Austin. All of our tech stations rallied to promote the event, promote TuneIn. I mean, the concert was sold out in like less than a day. And so if there was going to be any way for people to participate in it, it was through watching on our air or watching the YouTube stream of the broadcast. So
is
a lot of moving parts.
Is it still available to be watched? Like, can you still go online and see it?
You can. You can go to youtube.com/ Texas Strong. It's still there. Obviously, we had to work with rights with the artists, so it won't be there forever. But certainly people listening to today's podcast can enter that URL and go check it out.
Okay, well, thank you so much on behalf of the ProMax BDA community and think just people in general for taking all that on. The logistics alone are sort of mind-boggling. So it's amazing
Absolutely.
That you pulled it all off.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. So we're going to move on and talk about another topic, which actually the Harvey topic is a little bit, could be stressful, but I feel like it came out with a good story. But we're going to talk about this investigative series that Tegna stations have done. It's called Selling Girls. It's about sex trafficking young girls, really. I read the story online. There's a website that you can go to see all of the segments. And it's a pretty intense read. But so I had read that Tegna's investigative units at WXIA Atlanta and then the aforementioned KHOU Houston put together these series on topics. So they just did Selling Girls. They've also done PTSD in the military. They did a big one on the devastating opioid epidemic. Mm-hmm. So, I feel like investigative units, while important, are in decline. So, but it's obviously something that Tegna feels is important and is, you know, keeping in the forefront. So what does Tegna's take toward having this kind of investigative journalism? Why is it important to Tegna?
Sure. So, you know, there's a common theme between the Harvey efforts and Selling Girls. And again, it goes back to our purpose of serving the greater good of our communities. Part of serving the greater good is to keep people safe, keep people informed, tell them about things, put a spotlight on things that they might not otherwise know about in order to protect themselves and their families. And investigative is a wonderful way to achieve that. You know, our goal at Tegna is to produce, distribute unique, original, shareable content that serves the greater good. And that's really the linchpin under which we, operate our newsrooms. And, you know, it's one of the filters that we apply to editorial. I think that certainly investigative of yesteryear is probably a little bit dated. But I think when you watch Selling Girls, you see that, hey, this is a new definition of investigative. This is highly visual, extremely well-produced, deeply, deeply researched with significant amounts of data. And I think that's sort of flipping the traditional model of investigative on its head. The teams that produced this series took their time. This was not a done-in-a-day news story. This was a multiple months long set of investigations. And what you see is the finished product sort of pulls all of their work together. So I think investigative is, there is a rich, rich opportunity in the investigative genre. Ask our friends at Discovery ID or, you know, the multi-channel network Justice. You know, there is an appetite for this type of content. And we've seen that with the success of Selling Girls, which I can talk to you a little bit later. There definitely is a consumer appetite for these types of stories.
Well, I think my own feeling about this is that in this world where, you know, it's kind of ADD and people are on Twitter, so they only have a 6-second attention span. But so, and then I think a lot of shows have been produced to accommodate that. But I think there's a backlash to people actually want to spend time being told a good and deeply told story. I think it's true on television. I think it's true in print or online.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And I think, you know, the average consumer, right, that's living in one of our markets, they don't have access to all this data. They don't have access to the time to go and do these types of investigations. And so the fact that their local news operation can do all of the hard work for them and then deliver them sort of the outcome of, like, here's what you really need to know, that's a great value add for somebody. I personally raise two small children, 6 and 4, and thank God I watched that series. I'm much more informed. I'm much more aware. And when I share that series on social media, my friends are saying, this was awesome. Like, I'm so glad I saw this.
Were you terrified? Because it's kind of terrifying.
You know, it's interesting. I wasn't terrified by the content. I was more sickened, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I was.
Why don't you back up a little bit just and tell, I sort of said it, but just tell us, describe to us what Selling Girls is about.
Sure, absolutely. So Selling Girls is a 6-part investigative series. It is very high-end production, rich storytelling, and it tells the story of human and sex trafficking of underage minors here in the States. We always hear a lot about international trafficking, but there's a major issue going on right here where we live, work, and play. And while the title is Selling Girls, I should note that while 94% of the victims are girls, 6% are actually young boys. We focus on the girls in this series, but we know that this is an issue that affects, you know, all children. And so the series takes a really deep dive on the issues and looks at the issues from a variety of different perspectives. So in each of the different episodes, one episode features a pimp, one episode features a buyer or a John, one episode features a survivor. One episode features a set of parents. And so you really get this 360-degree look at the issues from all the different types of people who it affects.
Yeah, it's incredibly well-sourced in that they really went out. I mean, the people are not named. They're mm-hmm. under pseudonyms. But they went out and found people who had had experience in this area from these different angles like you're talking about and really talked to them. So you get these true, it's not just a bunch of data, it's these very
right.
true
it's
life
real
stories.
People.
Yeah.
Right. I think, you know, sometimes, and that's sort of a point that we took in with the marketing, is like it's so easy to look away from these issues, right? But when you realize that this happened to a regular mom's daughter, that mom could have been your neighbor or somebody at your school, all of a sudden it starts to become really real. And so everything we wanted to do with the series and with the marketing was designed to keep everything very real, not salacious. We try not to be too scary with it, but we want people to be informed and we want people to know that this is an issue. It's a issue. It's really an economic issue. And, you know, I think we want people to sort of end the supply and stop the demand. We want them to be really educated. So if they're raising children, they know what to do. They can educate their kids on, you know, not just stranger danger, but all of the other lessons that are in the series. Online, keeping people safe online, because so much of human and sex trafficking starts online. And it's like we want to teach people how to have conversations. So not only do they get the information, but then they can take action.
So you mentioned this, just what you were talking about, but let's dive in a little bit on how you guys marketed the series. So it premiered online, it's airing in local markets. It's sort of both having a national footprint or a large regional footprint and a local yeah. footprint. So how did you, so it's sort of 4 quadrants there, online, on air, local, national. How did you approach the marketing of this?
Yeah, so it always starts with the brief, right? So we watched the content with the editorial team and really sat and listened to sort of what their process had been. And as we started working through the brief, we just started to realize all the different opportunities that were going to be available to us with the series. You know, from a creative perspective, our big focus was on visual cohesion because the series itself is so stunning. And in fact, we had the same visual team that worked on the series also worked on the marketing. And so that's why everything has just a beautiful consistency to it. And we also wanted to be very true to the content itself and really produce marketing that felt like content. You know, content marketing obviously has been a big buzzword for, you know, several years now. But we really took an honest look to make sure that everything that we were putting forward, whether it was in social, on air, digital, et cetera, felt more like content and less like any sort of promotion. So we focused on a lot of stats, a lot of infographics, and then to balance sort of the data side out, to your earlier point, focusing in on real people. So for the video creative, we sourced a survivor and a mother who had been affected by the issue. And we came up with copy about not looking away. As I said earlier, it's so easy for people to turn their back on this issue. It might not be in their backyard, or at least they think it's not. And so they just focus on other things and they go through their daily life, right? But while we're doing all the normal things in daily life, this is happening right under our nose. And so we really asked, the individuals that were participating in the market to implore viewers, don't look away, pay attention. It happened to us, don't let it happen to you. And so that balance of data and infographics from a visual perspective and social was balanced out with the emotional and the realness of how this issue affects people. And so from there, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so because it started airing on the 22nd, it's the 25th today. Is the series still being rolled out, or where are we at on it?
Sure. So it launched on Thursday, and we used a lot of data and analytics to look at when would be the right time during the week to release the series. Mm-hmm. So we released it on a Thursday, and then starting Sunday, those stations that sort of opted in to participate in the series, they're running it at different times during the week. So, you know, Atlanta may run one part of the series each night during the week. Another station might run it all in one night. Another station may run only one of the episodes and then complement it with original stories of human and sex trafficking in their market. So everyone really gets to customize the rollout based on what's appropriate for their market. And so on the marketing side, we developed probably over 100 different multi-platform elements and provided that as a toolkit to the station so they can decide, hey, we want to use elements, 41, 82, and 93, but another market may say, no, we're going to use elements 1 through 15 or whatever it is. The goal is to have every market do what's right for them.
How is Tegna's marketing organized? Do you guys have a central sort of marketing hub that then delivers materials to the stations? Does each station have a marketer, or how do you guys do that?
Yeah, great question. So in the local world, the way that it works at Tegna is that I sit at the corporate center and I oversee
McLean, right?
In McLean, Virginia, outside DC. Yep. And then we have a central creative operation in Denver that's mostly focused on design, but has some other crafts in it as well. And then we all support each of the 46 affiliates in the portfolio. Those affiliates are in 38 markets nationwide. Every market has its own marketing team that is responsible for the local media properties, sort of audience growth in that market. And so each marketing team reports up to their local general manager, but I am here to support and advocate for the function.
So, and then also, are the marketers from Tegna, do they get embedded with the news teams on projects like this?
They do. Yeah, absolutely. So, our marketing team in Atlanta sits very close to the investigative team in Atlanta. And so they collaborate on this project and many others sort of side by side. And I think the beauty of Selling Girls was there was a lot of collaborators working together. So we're talking together all the time on instant message, on phone, in person, to work both on the content and on the marketing. It really was not a siloed process. So marketing had a voice in the content, content had a voice in the marketing, we all had a voice in social and digital, and they had a voice in the editorial and the promotion as well. So it was a very, very collaborative.
So they decide, okay, we're going to embark on this investigative series. Are the marketing teams basically in those meetings from the get-go?
I would say, they definitely took some time to do all the data and the research and start to formulate the content. But I would say we probably come in at maybe the rough cut, fine cut stage, mm-hmm. And then start collaborating from there.
Okay. So you mentioned before to discuss how well this is done. And I also know that investigative stories and series are expensive to produce in general. So how do you feel like putting together these sorts of programs gives back to Tegna in terms of ROI, viewership, ratings, engagement, et cetera? And then maybe you can also speak to how well you've seen Selling Girls has done on the station so far.
Sure. So it's been 5 days, but we've also seen in those 5 days a multi-million audience reaction, just in terms of sheer quantity, from the number of unique visitors and video plays and page views that we look at. This is one of our most successful investigative series that we've produced in this manner. So we're really pleased about that. And, you know, I think that from an ROI perspective, you know, we're very fortunate at Tegna to have a lot of in-house content creators, brilliant marketers, brilliant designers, who do all of this, you know, within the functions of the operation. So there's not a lot of outsourcing in a situation like this. And the return, I mean, there's so many returns, right, from the digital traffic that is secured to some of the more intangible returns in terms of employee pride to put on a project like this. I just think probably too many to list, but there definitely is both measurable and more intangible returns that we've seen from both this project and some of the others that these same investigative units have delivered, such as Charlie Foxtrot and The Triangle.
Right. I mean, do you think that for local stations in, you know, what we all know is such a fragmented and crowded media world, I think that series like this also really set stations apart and really, you know, they do serve Correct. Their local community, but they're also providing local information that you don't get in other places. So I always feel like this is a unique selling point for TV stations.
Absolutely. Local news has been in a sea of sameness for decades. And I think, you know, our goal every day is to provide unique, original content that separates our affiliates out in the marketplace. Because as you said earlier, like today's audiences, they do want context. They are willing to engage with issue-based storytelling, you know, for good amounts of time. And so if you can do it the right way, if you can make it visually stunning, well-researched, beautifully told stories, they're going to keep coming back for more.
Yeah, I agree. All right, I'm going to wrap it up there, but I will say that there is a web address, a website you can go and check out Selling Girls. And it's kind of a long web address though. So I'm going to tell you that I'm going to post that up on brief.promaxpda.org. If you want to go check out the Selling Girls series, it's compelling. It's sickening a little bit. It's very in depth and compelling. So thank you so much for sharing all that with us, Meredith.
Well, thank you, Paige. I do hope people will check it out. And I would love industry feedback. You know, the beautiful thing about Promax is that it brings all of us marketers together. And, you know, there's so much great opportunities for collaboration, even though, you know, some of us are competitors. But, you know, anyone that is listening to this podcast and watches the series and wants to get in touch with any thoughts or feedback, I'd love to hear from them.
Do you want to tell them how they can reach out to you?
Sure. They can send me an email. My email address is mconti@tegna.com. They can follow me on Twitter. My handle is Meredith Conti. And I just, you know, hope this project and many of the others that Tegna embraces really starts to break through, make people more aware, and hopefully save some lives and maybe even changes some laws. We'll see.
All right. Well, Meredith, thank you so much. I appreciate your time. It was great chatting with you.
Thanks, Paige. You too.
Paige Albiniak is editorial director of Promax BDA. LaFern Cusack is executive producer of the Daily Brief podcast and senior producer at Promax BDA. Video helper provided the music. Digital producer Kate LaKire Marion and social media coordinator Kristen Craik contribute to Daily Brief. Follow Paige on Twitter at Paige A. Follow LaFern at LaFern Cusack. Follow Promax BDA at Promax BDA. You can reach out to us at dailybrief@promaxbda.org. Subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.